Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Kirk, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to that first hour, but that was a pretty wild ride.
Yeah, a little bit. Back and forth, but I got most of it, you know.
Yeah. You have a you want to vote on your position relative to Catelyn? As an artist, have you seen the cover shot on Vanity Fair?
Yeah, I don't think you can avoid it. I don't care.
Yeah.
I honestly don't care. I mean, I'm in the art business. There's a lot of strange people in the art business, but so what? I mean, you don't have to. You have to date them.
No, Bruce Jenner, there's really nothing to appreciate. There's nothing redeeming about that story at all. But in art, there are a lot of odd individuals, men and women, who have real talent.
Yeah.
Very common. So we're not. The ad hominem argument, therefore, is not what. What prevails? It's the character. Sometimes, if you want to know them personally, that matters, and it's their ability that matters. If you are mm-hmm. dealing with them from a professional level. Yep.
Yeah. So it's not that interesting to me on what he does. I don't care. I never got into the whole family deal. I mean, I don't like fake. A realistic television. They pretend like it's real, and most of it's scripted. There's always a ringer in there that knows what they're going to say and what they want to argue about.
I have never watched even a moment of any episode of whatever the Kardashian TV show is. I wouldn't even know the name if it wasn't just so dominant in our society. But it seems to me that they have absolutely nothing to offer that would entertain anyone. But here I am being pejorative here because out of ignorance, because I have never listened to them, never watched the show. But from what little I gather, there should be nothing in their lives that should be of interest to anyone. But,
well, I've seen about 10 minutes of it, and believe me, you're absolutely right. I mean, if you just have nothing in your mind to do, and you're just that bored, then it's still not your first choice.
Oh my goodness!
Family is famous because their daughter had a sex tape. That's it.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's it.
That's right.
The Kardashian family wasn't anything until Kim Kardashian. Had her sex
so it sounds like isn't that Paris Hilton, the one that rocketed to fame because she had a sex tape that became public?
Well, that's the same situation. Yeah. Well, Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, they're famous just because their parents have money.
All right. Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But that's entertainment. What hey?
Yeah, well, their lives. Wow, you know, there is a there are some lives that I'm fascinated by. I am fascinated by Doe's life from a positive point of view. Not because he was a good role model, he wasn't, but because of the fact that the content of his character and the intellect he displays in his writing is extraordinary. Mm-hmm. I'm also interested in there are some bad people's lives that I'm interested in. Paul's. I am fascinated by Paul's life, and it's for the opposite reason.
Mm-hmm.
Paul has influenced more people than anyone who has ever lived.
Right.
And so, knowing who he is, what he did, how he wove his wicked web of lies, is interesting because I know that by exposing it, we can help more people than almost anything else we can do.
I took a lot of notes the last since yesterday and last night and this earlier this morning on some stuff that you were talking about last week. So he doesn't make any sense. I mean, I don't understand how this could have gotten this big based on what he said.
I've done a lot of thinking about how in the world could Pauline Christianity have become the most popular religion in the history of the world when you recognize that what Paul said is so obviously false. I mean, just on its face of it, Paul constantly, the basis of Pauline doctrine is a refutation of Yahweh's, which is the God of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, the only God, Yahweh's statement. So Paul contradicted, contravened, demeaned, negated, annulled everything that Yahweh said. Mm-hmm. Whatever God said was good, Paul said was bad. Whatever God said, this is the means to relationship, Paul said is the means to slavery. If God said this is the process that I put in place for salvation, Paul says that can't save. So how could somebody whose philosophy is on its face diametrically opposed to the testimony of the God that he claims not only inspired him but authorized him?
I have two answers.
Okay.
Okay, the first one is that Yahweh's never been popular. So the mass,
no.
Masses amounts of people have never heard it or are interested in hearing it. So there's nothing to for them to argue about because they don't know what the argument is.
So what you're basically saying is that the number one reason that Paul has prevailed is complete ignorance. And people are ignorant because Yahweh's testimony, the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, has never been popular.
Right.
At no time in human history was it popular in terms of the percentage of people who read it and understood it and accepted it. So Yahweh's testimony has never been popular, and most people have chosen to be wholly and completely ignorant of it.
The whole thing.
And therefore, they don't know that Paul is contradicting God with his every statement. Is that your position?
That's my point number one. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, I'm going to challenge point number one in only one regard.
Okay.
It is true that Paul's arguments seem pervasive until such time as you know what God's position is.
Mm-hmm.
So there is some, if you're completely unaware of what God said, then you can read Paul and not recognize that everything he's saying is in contradiction to God. That said, If you know nothing about what God said and you are resolutely rational, then Paul implodes on his own merits because of the fact that he claims to be authorized by a God whose statements he is negating. So even if you do not know what God said, the very fact that Paul claims to be authorized and inspired by a God that his entire thrust of his doctrine negate, but I, Paul, say, this was what was written, but I, Paul, say, this could not save, this enslaves, this is pornography, and I have been authorized by this same God to come up with an entirely new plan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that on its face, even if you didn't know what God said, if you're resolutely rational, you have to reject Paul, even if you're completely ignorant of what God said, just on the basis of that premise.
Well, you'd certainly have to study what he said to come to some kind of conclusion, you would think. It should pique your curiosity, but obviously it didn't pique mine as much. I just ignored
him.
As a Christian, I
just...
Yeah.
And that is what a lot of Christians do, is they, out of... is because it's so obvious that he's contradicting the God that he claims inspired him, that they just choose to ignore him rather than deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's the second reason that you think he prevailed?
Well, the reason he prevailed is because, as far as I can tell, in his entire presentation is totally synonymous with either Mithraism or any one of the Babylonian versions of paganism, which was enormously popular. Therefore, they would readily accept it, even though they didn't accept Paul. They accepted Paul being rehashed by Marcion, But when it got published around and money behind it to sell it, then it was sold as something that was very familiar. And as you always say, familiarity sells. So they put the bit in their teeth and ran with it. So
yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly. What Paul promoted was Gnosticism. Gnosticism is the Greek religious philosophy that things of the spirit are good and that things of the flesh, things that are material, are an evil and flawed representation, a shadow of the perfect. And so all of Paul's letters and his diatribe against the flesh and in favor of the spirit are all based on Gnosticism.
Mm-hmm.
And in Gnosticism, since it's a philosophical approach to life and to religion and to the world, you also have to look at the gods of the Greeks. The Greeks had a god that was perfect as a counterfeit. It's Dionysus.
Mm-hmm.
Dionysus' father was the father of the gods, so he would refer to Zeus as the father. Dionysus was born on the winter solstice, December 25th, back at the at that time, and so became the basis of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Dionysus was killed and resurrected at the vernal equinox.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In fact, Dionysus had a Holy Week that was a direct connection to the Babylonian Holy Week associated with Ishtar, which we get Easter. And the Holy Week, in every way, mirrors the Christian celebration of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And Dionysus had a cult had religious adherence. For example, the most evil man, I think, the most religious, most evil military and political leader in human history would be Hadrian. Hadrian fell in love with the Dionysus cult and became one of the de facto leaders of the Dionysus cult. And so here you have the Greek philosophy and Greek religion merged in Gnosticism and Dionysus and the Christianity that Marcion, who was a Gnostic, promoted.
Yeah.
Is the very religion that Paul and the Greeks all agreed upon.
Mm-hmm.
Dionysus merged with Gnosticism. So,
and the power of the Roman army to implement it.
You bet. Pondering these two questions, so this is really one question, but the various answers that you've provided,
mm-hmm.
is how was it possible that today there's 2,500,000,000 Christians, and there have probably been 5 or 6 billion Christians over the past 2,000 years. How is it possible that something as obviously false, Pauline Christianity, could have become the most popular religion in the world? When it is so clearly untrue, and I think you've hit all three of the reasons squarely on the head. It required complete ignorance. Now, the proof we have for that is during Paul's life. When you read Paul's letters, is Paul writing letters of, everybody that I've talked to, you all believe me, I'm just so thrilled that you've all accepted what I had to offer? Or is he writing letters of, I'm condemning Yosha's disciples? They're presumed to have authority, but they have no authority. I am the only one that has been picked by God to be the sole apostle to the Gentile world. And is he writing those that he has spoken to and said, what's the matter with you morons? How could you so quickly abandon what I told you? Which do we find in Paul's letters?
So it's always the latter. I mean, he just...
always.
Yeah. Everybody's abandoned.
He's on the warpath.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody. In fact, his final letter to Timothy, he says, the entire world has abandoned me. You are my only loyal friend. Everyone else has rejected me. So during his life, where he was, where people who knew Yosha and the disciples who were known by many, and where he was talking to people who still loved and knew the Torah,
mm-hmm.
that during his life, his message was summarily rejected by people who knew better. If you know the Torah, you will immediately reject Paul. There is no way to know the Torah and accept Paul.
And
so
did.
Those who knew better, who were not ignorant, rejected him without exception. He was wholly and completely rejected during his life. It wasn't until Marcion, a wealthy political and religious advocate, created a codex that had nothing but Paul's letters plus Acts and Luke.
Mm-hmm.
It was Paul's attaché. And that created this religion based upon those letters and made hundreds upon hundreds of copies and circulated them with considerable wealth behind it as a cause. It wasn't until that happened that people embraced it, and the people that embraced it were embracing it out of complete and total ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Because it appealed to them, because it was their religion.
Yeah. Just a new version or a new twist, but definitely.
Yeah, not even much of a new twist. It was almost universally their religion, just with they just renamed Dionysus Jesus. They renamed Yahweh the Father Zeus. I mean, it's the same religion, just with different nomenclature.
Yeah. And that's basically what spread it, Catholicism across South America. You just take whatever they got and weave it back in, because
yes,
it's basically the same, too. So
throughout the history of Roman Catholicism, they have universally adopted whatever the pagan community held as part of their religious beliefs, and they've just incorporated that into Christianity so as to make Christianity more popular.
Yeah, you remember the thing that you a couple of years ago you reported that Pope that retired, he came over and he blessed a little statue in Cuba or someplace down in the Bahamas.
Whatever.
Exactly. If you like it, I'll keep it. You can keep it.
You can keep it. Yeah, all we want is your money and your allegiance to us. So we will accept whatever you accept to make it easier for you to pay us and to let us control you.
Yeah, the crime syndicate, though, that is the Catholic Church. I'm taking my cue from you and IQ.
Yes.
You know, that cannot be spread without some military backing. And, of course, it wasn't throughout Europe. It required armies and kings who would go along with for the power, you know, to support one another. So, you cannot do this without some force of hand, you know.
The third spoke in the wheel,
you know, this is how you spread it.
Okay, that was the third point that you made, is that the first point was that originally, that it succeeds because it was because of ignorance. It grew out of ignorance, and that it grew because it gave them what they were already accustomed to, familiarity sells. But the third point is, it was then imposed by force.
Mm-hmm.
Theodosius, who is really more important than anyone in the history of Christianity, imposed it by force. So, Kirk, it really is just a matter of those three things.
I think so.
Of when people were aware of what the Torah said, when Paul was speaking to an audience that knew Yosha,
mm-hmm.
knew people who had witnessed Yosha's words and deeds, who knew the disciples, had listened to Yosha's disciples, they universally rejected Pauline doctrine. I mean, there wasn't a single Christian in the world at that time. 100% rejected Paul and his diatribe. According to Paul.
According to Paul.
every word that oozes out of his letters, he was summarily rejected by those who knew better.
Mm-hmm.
But times changed, and ultimately Marcion arrived, and he publicized Paul's letters to an ignorant world, and they found great harmony with Paul's letters because he was promoting the same religion that they had already accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Even the Romans, it's the same religion. You know, Dionysus simply became Bacchus. But Bacchus and Dionysus are the same, exactly the same manifestation of the Son of the Sun.
Persia has no trouble with this religion.
Right. In Egypt, they accepted it because in Egypt, it's Osiris.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Babylonian religion, it was Tammuz.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was universal acceptance by those people who were ignorant of what Yahusha said and did, just as Christians do. If you're going to be a Christian, you either have to completely disavow everything Paul wrote and throw out half the Christian New Testament, or you have to disavow everything that Yahusha said.
Mm-hmm.
And throw out, you know, the whole of Matanyah and Yahuchanan, Matthew and John, and Revelation, for that matter. And those are your choices. You can have one or the other. You just can't have both.
Okay.
So what happened ultimately then is then you had the power of the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Constantine simply made Christianity equally acceptable to Mithraism because they were essentially the same. He didn't make Christianity the official religion of the state, as is claimed. That was not true. And he was a scumbag. But what happened is about 75 years after Constantine, Theodosius, he's the one that made Christianity in 400 CE the official religion of Rome, for which there would be no exceptions. And it wasn't just Christianity. It was Pauline Christianity, as endorsed by those who were opposed to the fundamental concept that Yahusha was a diminished manifestation of God. He went to war, Theodosius did, with all dissenting views other than the Nicene acceptance of their God being the totality of God, so that they would be able to completely eliminate any of the testimony of the prior, now deceased God. That's shown as dead in Romans.
Right. And that sends, what's his name, Arian or something off to...
Arian
heads off to Africa to hide out because they're going to kill him.
Right.
He refused. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So then he imposed it. He created the serf lord economic system and the Roman Catholic clerical system that had to be obeyed or... you were going to be killed. You'd be tortured. There would be no exceptions. It wasn't that just Christianity was the official religion. There'd be no other religions to be tolerated.
Okay, let me ask you a question, because this is begging a question. Mm-hmm. If Yahweh is Lord, is a Lord, and if his word enslaves, as Paul has been talking for hours and hours and hours in these letters, then how come the world's not all a bunch of Israelites?
Yeah, really. Yeah.
I mean, he certainly had the power because Paul said he struck him blind on the road to Damascus. So, I mean, they attacked the guys without means. He don't even need armor. He just, you know, knock you down. So if that's true and he is a Lord, if you believe he's a Lord, then Lord's Lord. They don't. Would you mind come over and do something for me? No, he doesn't say that's not a Lord.
No.
And it certainly is not a and if there's enslavement involved, then we'd be all marching to the same tune.
Can I ask you if he had to strike Paul blind, and he hit him so hard and so frequently, abused Paul so hard and so frequently that Paul thought he was going to die and required many, many days just to recuperate from the experience.
Yeah.
Why did he ask Moshe to go with him? Why was his experience with Moshe so different that he said, you know, I'd like you to do this? And Moshe said, no, I don't think I'm qualified. He said, I really would like you to do this. You know, well, what's your objection? Well, I don't speak well. Well, what if I'll help you out. What if I have your brother, you know, join us? He speaks really well. Would that be okay?
Yeah.
So here's Yahweh making compromises with and requesting very politely in a non-forceful way Moshe, you know, an 80-year-old codger, to go do this with him.
Mm-hmm. He's always asking. He's never
right.
He's always presenting his case. Follow me.
Right.
Follow me, Abraham. Follow me, disciples.
Right. You know, when he came to his disciples. Why don't we hear that for Yahu Kanan and Shimon Kefesh to join him? Why don't we hear him saying that he struck them blind and then beat the living crap out of them, and then after they begged for mercy, he says, "All right. So now you're going to do this, right?
Yeah.
You know, why did he simply just ask them,
mm-hmm.
follow me?
He must have lost his touch.
He must have lost his touch.
Listen, you can't have it. You can't live on both sides of the streets like Paul does.
Right. You know, I would tell you today. You know, I just came back from a trip to Ohio, and Ohio is. You know, Mark Twain once said, "You know, I want to die in Ohio because it'll be 20 years before anybody knows about it." That's how far Cincinnati is behind the rest of the country. You know, I'll get 20 more years because no one will hear about it. And I mention that because in Ohio, mm-hmm. there are mega churches on every other corner. And the presence of Roman Catholicism there is just, it just makes you want to puke.
Stifling, huh?
Oh, God. It is so far behind the rest of the country that's come to realize, you know, that Christianity is a crock. And so, you know, if you, it's like Texas, they don't ask you if you're a Christian, they ask you what church you go to.
Where do you go to church?
Yeah, because it's just assumed. Well, the only question that would be assumed in Cincinnati area of Ohio would be, you know, are you part of a, you know, one of these mega churches, or are you Catholic,
mm-hmm.
with the majority being Catholic? And to stand out and say, you know, no, I'm not only not religious, I'm anti-religious. In a community like that, I mean, you will be ostracized. It will be very difficult. If you were to try to do business, you'd be blackballed. You'd have no chance.
Can you imagine me as an artist in Italy? As pretty as it is, I mean, you got domo after domo. Everything is saint so and so. You can't even paint a landscape without a statue of somebody in it. And just
right.
a break. Yeah.
It's hard. So it is. It's always been hard to rebel, and like an American, there is zero chance that the Abominator is a Christian. I mean, none. And yet he claims that he's a Christian, because if he's not a Christian, he couldn't win the election. George W. Bush, once he won his second term, he announced that he wasn't a Christian, that his God had nothing in common with Christianity, but he had only feigned an association because he needed the evangelical vote. So, you know, we have created a scenario where it is extraordinarily difficult to walk against the crowd. And that's really why I've enjoyed on our Shabbat programs on Blog mm-hmm. Talk Radio and the Yada Yada Radio, why I've enjoyed focusing on the life and words of Dode, who is better known as David, because of the fact that he bowed his back against them. He exposed and condemned them. He called those who were the enemies of Yahweh his enemies. And, you know, boy, if you're going to do that, you're going to take a beating. And he did.
You know, Tara and I I know personally, I was overwhelmed by just amazed by the 23rd Psalm. And we were talking over the weekend about our past when we were Christians and how we viewed God, and this just ain't the God exposed there is not the God that we, the Christianity that we knew as Christians. I mean, Terry used to say, I'm going to go in kind of like behind a cardboard Jesus so he doesn't mm-hmm. see me, you know, and stuff like that. I was trying to sneak in the back door, just hoping I can get in, you know, honest to goodness. And it's like, how absurd our whatever, all the teaching we learn to come up with those type of, and still have those ideas harbored in our brain. Man, that's And then you read the 23rd Psalm, and I was just totally moved. I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's how different the relationship was and the expectation was of Dode from that presented by Christians. His relationship with Yahweh and the things that he expected to do with Yahweh. So radically different. But yet it is exactly what we have from other places come to expect. That, you know, we'll be out exploring the universe with him and then come back, you know, every seventh day to share what we have seen, what we have done.
Can you imagine Yahweh just coming up and say, "Hey, y'all, can I come with you?"
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And he'd probably say y'all, too.
I think so. And the idea that not only will he say, "I want to come with you," you know,
he's going to show you some cool stuff.
Well, it's not just that he wants to show us the cool stuff. That's what I always expected.
Yeah, he wants
But he also wants to see and experience what it's going to be like being with us.
Yeah.
As we explore and try things out, and it's just like a father witnessing their son do something that they love and having more fun doing that than actually showing them. We'll be back, and we have a caller. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Kirk, there's another thing that strikes me, and that is that not only is Paul aggressively opposed to the disciples, condemning them, not only is Paul, and those are the people that we know were chosen by Yahusha, not only is Paul demeaning of Yahweh's Torah, prophets, and Psalms, but he is internally contradictory, contradicts himself, and he says so many things that are just so, I mean, like, whoa, where did that come from? Like, for example, when he says that he was all things to all people, to those who were Torah observant, he pretended to be Torah observant, even though he wasn't. To those who weren't Torah observant, he said, "No, I didn't keep the Torah. For those that were Jewish, I pretended to be Jewish. For those who weren't Jewish, I pretended to be Gentile. I was all things to all people so that I could gain an advantage over them." Now, the moment you hear that, why would you trust such an individual? That's Machiavellian. You know, I'm going to be whatever I need to be to win your confidence. Isn't that him admitting that he was the sheep or the wolf in sheep's clothing, that he pretended to be what he was not?
Did anyone ever change their story, any of the witnesses,
right,
the disciples? Did any of them change their story like that? Did they ever act any different among Gentiles?
No.
And
claim to be something that they weren't? No. Mm-hmm. No, and here's Yahusha warning us about the wolf in sheep's clothing, and here's Paul saying, "Yep, that's me.
Yeah,
I will pretend to be that which I am not to gain an advantage over you." Or in 2 Corinthians, where he says that I'm demon possessed, that it's a messenger of Satan that is the thorn in my side, that is the goat in my side that controls me. Right? When you read something like that, how in the world as a Christian do you say, "Oh yeah, that's just fine. I don't have a problem with him being demon possessed. I don't have any problem with him falsifying his identity. I don't have any problem with that." You know, when he says hundreds of times over, "But I, Paul, say," why would we give a crap as to what "but Paul," "but what I, Paul, say"? When, why would any? If you can read thousands of pages of material that's Yahweh says, and he happens to be God, why would you even give two hoots what "but I, Paul, say"? Did you, when you're reading Yohanan or Shimon Kefesh's testimony, are you reading, you know, who cares what that Yosha fella says, "but I," you know, "Peter or John say"?
You never say if you followed it up with, "if I say because Yosha said," you know, or "I say because in the Torah and Yahusha Yah it says," that's a whole other ball game. But he never clarifies anything based on anything, but his whatever he's come up with in his little pea brain.
One of the things that really struck me is that Yahusha is constantly warning us about a wolf in sheep's clothing. He's constantly warning us in Revelation about a false apostle, someone who will make a false claim of apostleship, right there in Ephesus. that will be will take them away from their first love, which was the message that Yahuconan had shared with them. And then you have all of Paul's letters in opposition to Yahuconan and in opposition to what Yosha said right there in Ephesus. And people don't make the connection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Paul claims he was the Benjamite, which is the wolf in the Torah. And that he admits that he changes his appearance to achieve an advantage. And Yosha said, beware of the wolf in sheep's clothing, because he will lead you away from the Torah.
Yeah.
But, and people don't make the connection.
But an advantage to do what? I mean, if...
Yeah. Remember, in the Sermon on the Mount, when Yosha says, do not think for a moment that I came to annul the Torah, but instead to fulfill it, not a single stroke or a single letter in the Torah will be done away with until while the heavens and earth exist. And then he says, anyone who would tell you otherwise will be called little and lowly in the kingdom of heaven. What does Paulus mean in Latin?
I looked it up, believe it or not, I looked it up yesterday in two lexicons, and it still comes up little.
Little and lowly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Here's Yosha saying, that's going to be the name of the person that does this. When Yosha said, I come in my father's name as Yosha, and you don't accept me, but one will come in his own name, and him you will accept. Well, who came in their own name, a name that they themselves chose, that is accepted by more people than anyone in human history?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
The same guy. I mean, you know, how much more blunt could Yahweh be about it than Yosha?
Guess whose name is next to Satan's in the Hebrew Greek dictionary? Shaul.
Shaul. It's also the same word as Sheol, which is
Sheol.
The realm created for Satan. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you, Kirk.